to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you're on Empowered by the Spirit. And this is Easter Sunday, the Easter Sunday show, and we are so excited to have Father Scott Borgman, the judicial vicar for the Diocese of Orange, to share with us the joy of the resurrection. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Deacon. It's good to be with you today. We've been leading up to this point throughout the year. In fact, since we started Advent season, we've been looking forward toward Christmas, the birth of our Lord, and then through the Lenten season right up to today. And so we're excited. We finally arrived at Easter.
And Easter is the personification of how much Jesus loves us. Jesus loves us passionately. You know, so many people don't understand the significance of Easter. They have their traditions and their Easter egg hunt and everything like that. But why should we be so excited about Easter?
Well, I think we lose the historical significance of this event. Jesus said, I am the light, light for the world, for all ages of history, for every society, for each person, each man and woman. And we do get caught up sometimes in the cultural celebration of Easter, the whole idea of bunnies and chocolates. And of course, we've spent the time of Lent, hopefully, fasting. And so this is the time to celebrate, even in culinary affairs. But we have sort of replaced the historical significance with a kind of a social celebration of Easter egg hunts and chocolates and then a one-day celebration of Easter. Remember, we've got 50 days to celebrate. And so we've got this beautiful time of greeting each other. It seems like only really in our society, the Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, some of these churches that are more in contact with the early church have retained a lot of these significant liturgical events that lead up. Historically, Easter has been a movable feast. I was kind of reading up on it this morning in preparation for talking to you today, and I found out something very confusing, which was that Easter always falls after the spring solstice, after the full moon on the following Sunday. So it's the Sunday following the full moon, following the spring solstice. So we're kind of like in the heavens there, right? We're
Amen. To the Amen. Heavens. And that's why it moves from year to year. And we are in the heavens. And when I was growing, well, when my children were younger, and we were younger, my wife, Marianne, that you know, used to put a big sheet and on our garage door outside, and it said, He is risen.
Yes.
You know, and it's just the really beauty and the significance of the fact that Jesus rose again so that we may in turn rise with him. You know, so, so important. And you'd really love this thing, this huge, huge banner, you know, putting out in our front yard and
reminding us of the essentials.
Yeah. You know, and it's so important. I mean, sometimes we just forget. What does that mean that he rose again, that he was risen? What does that mean?
Well, it reminds me of a good friend of mine who's a Greek Orthodox vicar general for Italy, and he's got a long black beard. He's always in his long robes, Greek Orthodox, so he's Greek. And he always sends me a little Easter message, Christos Anesti. Now, they have a little different way of calculating when Easter falls, but this greeting, Christ is risen, was something that the church for the last 2,000 years has been using on Easter Sunday. And the response is, He is truly risen. So Christ is risen. Christ is truly risen. And again, I was not always Catholic. So for most of my life, 30 years, we celebrated Easter just on Easter Sunday. We lose the significance of Easter if we remove it from the historical pinnacle this day was what we celebrate on Easter Sunday is the absolute height of the revelation of God. Think about it for a moment. There is nothing more scary. Well, taxes are kind of scary, and we're sort of in that season, but just past that season. But death is something that is definitive. When you lose a loved one, there's no seeing them again. Of course, we have the hope of the resurrection, the hope of heaven, but there is nothing more definitive than death. And so this destruction of death, as it were, was a culmination of the revelation of God throughout the Old Testament. God had been preparing his people to receive the Messiah. It was a tragic happening in the passion and the death of our Lord. And then this resurrection, which was suddenly kind of an amazing moment for the disciples, realizing that all the promises of God were finally fulfilled. And this is what we want to enter into as we just celebrated the whole Lenten season, going into the Paschal mystery, Good Friday, Good Saturday, and living fully those moments which prepare us for then the light of Christ that is truly revealed to the world through conquering death. And it also gives kind of a new meaning to suffering. Of course, Easter comes around, but we're still sort of in this church that is in pilgrimage toward heaven. So we're still dealing with all of this, the difficulties that life brings. But with the guarantee of the resurrection of Christ, we also have a kind of guarantee that this too shall pass, that Jesus has risen. He's no longer in the tomb. Life has finally overcome death.
Amen, amen, amen. And one of the scriptures I love is, oh, death, where's your sting? You know, because the reality is there is no sting because because Jesus has risen again. And if we die with him, so shall we rise with him. And it's so important to understand that he died and rose again and took upon our sins, no matter what we've done, the sins of the world upon him, so that when he rose again, we have the ability to be with him forever in heaven.
So it was very interesting as I was in seminary in Rome, and I worked in the Vatican for a while with the liturgical celebrations office, and coming from a Protestant background where Easter was just sort of one day of the year and that was it, maybe you had a nice meal together, realizing that we're beginning a whole season right now celebrating the resurrection of Christ. And the difference between sort of the very austere, the statues were covered during the last couple weeks of Lent. Everything was taking us inward, as it were, taking us deeper into the mystery of the revelation of Christ. And then this resurrection, which explodes in all these flowers. And in Rome, there's actually a company that comes from Holland every year. They drive all of those flowers that just turn the piazza of St. Peter into a huge garden, floral garden with all these colors. And they drive those all the way from Holland. So it takes about 3 days and they come out. And so over the last several days, they've been setting this up in St. Peter's Square. And if you have the chance to see the photos, they often appear on the news with the Holy Father. And this explosion of kind of color is an outward manifestation of our inward joy, of our celebration of Christ, because the resurrection is actually the purpose of Christ's ministry. The apostles, for instance, are first of all witnesses to the resurrection of Christ. And although the narratives differ in very small areas, in the essential things they are in agreement. And so the importance of this miracle is so great that the apostles identify themselves, first of all, as witnesses to the resurrection. They announce that Christ is alive, and this becomes kind of the nucleus of their teaching, that Jesus is no longer in the tomb. Jesus has conquered death. And so our task as Christians is also to proclaim this resurrection of Christ, to see the resurrection of Christ as God sees it. Not through the eyes of our childhood with the bunnies and the egg hunt, those are good expressions. But going deeper, how does God see Easter? And along with how does God see Easter as the culmination of what he wanted to reveal to mankind, the conquering of death, the resurrection, which we also participate in, please God, at the end of our lives. But how does God see Easter? How does God, in essence, see the church? How does God see our path to holiness, our call to to be resurrected with Christ? And in that, we can also join all of the saints throughout the history of the church as we celebrate this wonderful day.
My brothers and sisters, you're on Empowered by the Spirit, and happy Easter to you. Easter blessings to you. We're talking about the joy of the resurrection with Father Scott Borgman, judicial vicar for the Diocese of Orange. One of the great joys that we experienced was being together in the Holy Land. And what did that mean to you as it relates to just better having within our hearts the joy of the resurrection, being there at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, for example?
Yeah. The interesting thing is that with the celebration of Mass, we have the Holy Land with us, as it were. We have all of these sacred spots. We relive the crucifixion and resurrection, really, of our Lord at each Eucharistic celebration. So if we enter deeply into this mystery and understand God's invitation through the mystery of the Mass, connecting with Christ, God feeding us with his body and blood, then we realize more intensely the significance of these places in the Holy Land. For example, you mentioned the Holy Sepulchre, being there at the place where Jesus was buried in the tomb, very close to Golgotha, the place of the skull, the place where he was crucified. And this allows us to kind of smell the air, as it were, that Christ would have smelled, to feel the sunshine that he would have felt as he walked through the Holy Land, and then to see that this event actually happened. It takes us back to this idea of the apostles as witnesses of the resurrection. After 20 centuries, we realize that Christ chose not to just sort of appear out of nowhere, but to appear in the context of the Holy Land, to be able to teach us not only through his prophets, but himself directly, through his words, through his actions, getting to know his life and his death and his resurrection in a very intimate way. This is our path to holiness. And of course, all the beautiful things that happened on this Easter Sunday originally, where he appeared to Mary Magdalene in a form she did not immediately recognize. How often does Christ pass by so close to us, perhaps even in the Eucharist, and we don't recognize him? He joins the two disciples making for Emmaus as a traveler, overtaking them on the road. They don't immediately recognize him either, and he begins to explain the scriptures. How wonderful it would have been to have a little tape recorder there and to be able to have that discourse verbatim from our Lord. And so they recognize him when? In the breaking of the bread. And then he appears to Peter, the rest of the apostles. And he appears also now. He wants to appear to you and to me, who are his disciples and who want to love him with the same love that his apostles loved him, the same love as Mary Magdalene. There's a beautiful tradition in the church that he appeared actually to his mother first. It just makes sense, as close as they were, that he would have appeared to her in solitude. Remember that she didn't come to the tomb to wrap him and to prepare his body, because she was waiting for this day. She was waiting for Easter.
Amen. And we're going to be right back to learn more about the joy of the resurrection. This is Deacon Steve Greco.
Thank you. This is John Romero, Director of Music at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are just months away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, but in the meantime, we have some spectacular concerts at Christ Cathedral. Check out our website at ChristCathedralMusic.org or our Facebook page at Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Are you looking for relevant ways to respond to modern cultural challenges like gender ideology, the Me Too movement, feminism, and the constant masculine critique? This is Timory Millington. Listen to my show, Trending with Timory, as I'm joined by regular guests who defend what the Catholic Church teaches about sexuality and family. Join me Sunday afternoons on Relevant Radio or catch all the episodes at radiotrending.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you're back on Empowered by the Spirit. Happy Easter. Easter blessings to all of you, all of our listening audience and your families and your loved ones. Christ is risen. We're so incredibly excited and filled with joy. And the title of the show, again, is The Joy of the Resurrection with Father Scott Borgman, Judicial Vicar for the Diocese of Orange. Now, I have to mention, Father, and this is on Facebook Live prior to Easter and is being aired on Easter Sunday. But on the vigil of Easter, on that Saturday night, that is so great. And again, those listening on Facebook Live, you still have the opportunity to go to the Easter Vigil, starting out with that fire outside. And I'd like to kind of walk through the Easter Vigil because it's just so meaningful for me. Why is there a fire outside?
Well, thank you, Deacon. This is one of the most powerful things, also for me as a convert to the Catholic faith. I'm sort of seeing it through new eyes, as it were, not having grown up with this whole tradition. Everything is very significant. The fire, the procession, the vestments that the priest is wearing, the prayers. If you haven't experienced this yet, I would really highly encourage you to see this. The fire is obviously the light of Christ, and the fire is this image of Christ, because as you move into the church, you're going to see that everything is dark. All right. And sometimes we can kind of feel like everything is a bit dark with the fake news and even the real news of terrible things that are going on in the world. The truth is we need a break. We need a break. We need a day. We need a season, maybe 50 days. So we give up something for Lent, but it might be good to give up something for Easter. Might be good to give up reading the dark news and the bad news for Easter and begin to turn our eyes back from everything that is going wrong in the world back to Christ, the light of Christ. And so we have this church that's entirely dark. And again, it's quite significant in St. Peter's Basilica. If you've ever been there, you have this extraordinary and enormous basilica that is completely dark, and you can hear a pin drop in there. It's jam-packed, full of people, and the Holy Father is there in the portico. There's just a few cardinals, a few other people, and somehow I got to hand some of the candles out a couple of years, so I was able to see that up close, and the fire that is lit, the prayers that are read, and then that fire is taken, and it is placed on the Paschal candle, which again, remember, will burn throughout the year, throughout the Easter season, and then throughout the year at all baptisms. Every time you have a baptism, you've got that fire of Christ, which was lit originally from this fire on the Easter Vigil.
If I could interject here, you know, as a deacon, it is such a privilege. It is my favorite Mass of the year because I'm holding the candle, walking in there, and the crowd is all there in this darkened church, as Father said. And I, at various points, I stop, I raise the candle, and I sing, "The Light of Christ." You know, and it's so, so important to understand that we are the light of the world. And the whole significance of this Mass and having everyone then take their candles at some point to light it from the Easter candle and then the rose, so important to understand that we're all connected to the light of Christ.
And as you sing the light of Christ, Lumen Christi, this reminds us to enkindle in our hearts as the light spreads gradually from the back of the church. You're walking in, you're stopping in the back, you're stopping halfway, you're stopping at the foot of the altar. And this movement, as the fire takes hold of the various wicks throughout the church, throughout, and I'm thinking again of St. Peter's Basilica. They light the candles for the cardinals, then the bishops, and then they start lighting it, and it just takes over. In fact, the ceiling is a perfect parabolic reflector. And only on this night do you really get the sense of the power of the gold ceiling. Now, the walls of St. Peter's Basilica are plain, but the ceiling is gold, and so it starts to reflect that light. And really, with just those few candles that are on the floor of the basilica, the light goes up and it shines back down and illuminates in this kind of effervescent glow, a beautiful golden light from the candles, and reminds us how the light of Christ actually pierces the darkness. And this being the image of the profound darkness that we see around us, in which humanity is plunged without Christ. Imagine the hopelessness of no resurrection. Imagine the hopelessness of death being definitive. And so Christ has changed all that. Without the revelation of God, again, we are in darkness. It's kind of every man for himself. But with the light of Christ comes community. With the light of Christ comes significance. With the light of Christ comes holiness. And then in an instant, the celebrant proclaims that beautiful news. May the light of Christ, rising in glory, dispel the darkness of our hearts and minds. And so those perhaps on who are hearing this before the actual celebration, enter profoundly into every word of those prayers, that the church is leading you, as it were, on a journey, on a pilgrimage from darkness into light, from almost a kind of renewal and a healing. This Easter will be different from any Easter you've ever celebrated, but we've got to turn our hearts to Christ. And from the light of that Easter candle symbolizing Christ, all the faithful receive light. There is no light outside of Christ. The darkened church now becomes illuminated with the light of the Easter candles, and all these candles of the faithful contributing to the beautiful light of the church. And this light of the church begins to flood over the entire earth. And remember, this is happening in every parish throughout the world. So we're all, as it were, celebrating this light of Christ. St. Paul gave a motto to the Christians at Ephesus. He said, to fill everything with the Spirit of Jesus, placing Christ at the center of everything. And so this is a renewal of our light, which we are then called to take out into the world. Again, we are the witnesses to the resurrection. Life is not without hope, because Christ is risen.
My brothers and sisters, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.
We can finally say it.
We can finally say it, and say it because of this Easter joy. But my brothers and sisters, you are the light of the world. Do not hide your light under a bushel basket. Do not hide your light. What this joy of Easter is about, the joy of the resurrection, is understanding the fact that we do not have to live in shame. We do not live in darkness, but we live in the light of Christ. So many people are living in darkness because they don't understand how much Jesus loves them, and how Jesus has forgiven them. And through this death and resurrection, they can live a life being in the light of Christ. And again, this Easter Sunday, Easter weekend, but Easter season is about understanding that they are to live a resurrected life, which is so important.
Absolutely. And that resurrected life is not something that is imposed externally. It's fruit of our absolute love for God, realizing that God has loved us first. We love him back. And so it's going to be hard, once you fall completely head over heels in love with Christ, for him not to shine through you, because Our task as Christians is to spread the light of Christ. And that doesn't mean just priests and religious or deacons or those who are involved in parish ministry, but all of us, which means we have to fall in love with Christ once again. And with that light in our own lives, we will not be able to hide it from those around us, because God calls everyone from society, asking those who are mothers of families, asking those who are in politics, asking those who are in any form of work to let the light of Christ to shine through them. One of the readings of the Paschal Vigil are the words of St. Paul. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And he talks about us being buried, therefore, through baptism with Christ. We've been buried with him. And that as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, St. Paul says, we too might walk in newness of life. So we hear about this transformation, but sometimes it becomes so repetitive for us that we forget that this renewal is what Christ wants to do with your life, wherever you are. You can even stop right now, whether you're driving. Don't close your eyes if you're driving, but at home, stop and speak with Christ. So maybe at the end of this show, just take a few moments of silence, reconnect with Christ and say, Lord, what do you want to do through me? And this transformation in Christ, which starts at our baptism, where our old self was crucified with him, so that in the words of Romans 6, we might no longer be enslaved to sin. And this is the real message of the light of Christ, to remove us from sin and darkness and to bring us into the fullness of Christ's life. The presence of the living Christ is mostly food for our souls in the Eucharist.
Amen, amen. One of my favorite scriptures is Jesus saying, behold, I make all things new. And when we think of Easter, we think that everything changed with Easter. Everything changed with the resurrection. Everything changed in the sense that when he rose again, he took upon himself our sins. And we need not walk in fear, but we need to walk in the joy of the Lord, because that is what Easter is all about, is joy. Easter is about the joy of what Jesus has done for us.
Indeed, and we celebrate that joy, and with Easter, we also enter further into the mystery of these gifts, of the sacraments. Every one of the sacraments is a gift of renewal, and our Lord brings his joy in us despite the difficulties. Because we've got to remember that true joy is not an absence of difficulties, but peace and joy that comes from the Holy Spirit even comes in the midst of those difficulties, because our joy is that we spend eternity with our Lord. Our promise is holiness, not to be comfortable. And so the joy that this world will offer, you will see very quickly, will turn to something very temporal. But the joy that Christ, the true joy that Christ offers to us, reminds us that the sacraments bring us to that life that Christ wants for us.
We're going to be right back to learn more about the sacraments and Easter and the joy of the Lord. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you're on Empowered by the Spirit.
In L.A. County, there are more than 28,000 children in foster care. And sadly, every day more children enter the system. But their story doesn't have to end there. Maybe you've been thinking about starting or expanding your family. If so, there's a child in foster care waiting for you. A simple visit to fosterall.org can change the course of a child's life and yours. As a proud partner with the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, Foster All takes the guesswork out of navigating the foster adopt process and will match you with a foster family agency that suits your needs. Each agency is different, so let Foster All be your guide. Log on to fosterall.org. org. There's a community of amazing people waiting to support your decision to love a child. And Foster All is right beside you the entire way. Do you have room in your heart and your home for a child? Begin your journey with Foster All today at fosterall.org. That's fosterall.org.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit, and Jesus is risen. Christ is risen. Happy Easter. Easter blessings to you. We're talking about the joy of the resurrection with Father Scott Borgman, judicial vicar for the Diocese of Orange, and we're talking about the Easter joy, the sacraments, but one of the things I also want to talk about is baptism, because baptism and Easter go together in the sense that why do we renew our baptismal vows during that Easter Mass?
Well, yeah, Deacon, thank you. Baptism is a specific moment in each of our lives, but it's something that happens. It's not just a public expression like many of our Christian brothers believe. It's an actual change of character, an entrance into the family of God, which means that now we not only have an identity as sons and daughters of God, we have a mission, the mission to participate in the family of God, to also reach out to those around us. And so baptism has this profound effect upon each one of us, which is much greater than just the external sort of expression, you know, that our parents wanted us to be in there. I like to think about it as kind of the parents removing an obstacle. So there's two things primarily. It cuts off original sin, because we're all influenced by this sin of Adam and this original sin. And so it cuts that off, and it opens up, orientates our souls and our lives toward God to be able to understand better what he wants from us. And then we continue that in the other renewable sacraments. And this is what life with Christ is, being close to him. You know, there's this beautiful book called The Five Love Languages. I was reflecting on how the Mass and the other sacraments are really an expression of God's love in all five different ways of loving. And that may be for another radio show, but God wants to be with us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to touch us physically by feeding us with the Eucharist. He's giving us the gift of himself. What greater gift than the gift of himself? And so we turn back to him at every Mass. So we have Easter, which we celebrate for 50 days. And during this, we can enter deeply into the mystery, not only of our baptism, but if Christ is our life, just as he promised his disciples at the Last Supper, then he wants to feed our souls. We are, the early church fathers said, divinized. That means we become like God. So if we eat food, then that food eventually turns into us, becomes us. But when we eat the Eucharist, that we become the Eucharist. We become Christ. We become like God. It is no longer I who live, St. Paul said, but Christ who lives in me. And it's a bit of a mystery, because then we still need to get out of bed in the morning. We still need to dedicate all of our activities of each day to God. But with the sacraments, the grace of our vocation as sons and daughters of a God who is absolutely in love with us, this produces in us the ever more perfect resemblance to Jesus Christ. We become more and more like him, not just an external thing, but an internal thing. And I love this. I had a spiritual director who used to say, you know, we don't want to look humble. We want to be humble. And so this kind of accentuates this transformation that God wants for each one of us as we move through these sacraments, especially the sacrament of the Eucharist. You know, once a day is not enough. I love the Eucharist. I love the Mass being there, and it shouldn't be entertaining. You know, we're trying to kind of think about how we can better draw the youth. And I was reading this beautiful article the other day that was saying they don't want to be entertained. They're entertained until they're blue in the face with everything that the phone provides and movies and sports, etc. What they need is to learn to pray.
Amen.
Shut off the world for a few moments, to enter into the silence of those moments of the Mass where there is silence. The Mass should be boring. It should absolutely be boring. It should take us back to get away from our five senses and enter deeply into the mystery of the communion of Christ, that what St. Teresa of Avila called that exchange of friendship, a commerce of friendship, where we know how to love one another. This is what Mass does, is draws us into a very deep communion, Eucharist with Christ. And so as long as we correspond generously in receiving the Eucharist frequently, God will do his part and transform us as we continue to see our days, to see our responsibilities under the invitation of Christ to become canonizable saints.
And we are called, my brothers and sisters, to be saints. And that's one of the things that is so important. I know for many people, they go, oh, what are you kidding me? We're called for holiness. We are called for holiness, but we have to want to be holy. And Easter, the Easter season, really helps us better understand that we are adopted children of Jesus Christ. And through that, and through living out our baptism to be priest, prophet, and king, to be the light of Christ, everything changes.
Well, and one of the sacraments that God has given us, which really changes our darkness into light, is this beautiful sacrament of joy, as Pope Benedict would call it, the sacrament of joy, the sacrament of confession. And that might have been John Paul II, but I believe it was Pope Benedict. And I like to say confession, you know, people say, well, Father, you know, I'm always sort of confessing the same sins. And I'm like, well, you don't want new ones every time, you know. And Pope Benedict gives us this beautiful vision of confession. It's almost like each Saturday we wash the windows in the house and it's the same dirt. But when we're able to wash it off, then we begin again with the light of Christ being able to shine more perfectly through a clean window, illuminating our soul, illuminating the interior of the home. And it's much like confession should be kind of like a car wash in many different ways. And no one wants to sit in the car wash longer than they have to. But coming in, driving out of the car wash with a completely clean car, and we do this quite often. In fact, you've got the car washes that give you a weekly rate or a monthly rate, and you can come back as often as you want. It could be the same with the church. You know, when you wash your car, go by confession, maybe on the way to the car wash, if not on the way back from the car wash. But it would be good to have this sort of regular appointment with Christ. Why not? Mother Teresa went to confession once a week. Surely she was not confessing new sins every time, but she was starting over with Christ. And it's not about confessing other people's sins. You know, some people come in and they say, oh, you know, my kids did this and my spouse did this, and they confess all the sins of the other person. But no, this is your moment to be able to come to Christ. And what a relief. What a relief to be able to unload all of those things that the devil would like to use against us. Because the reality is that as these sins build up, we begin to make little concessions, little alliances with our sins, whatever they may be. And the two big ones really are pride and laziness. Just procrastinating on things, putting ourselves first before God. And so our life, the invitation of God by design, is that we would have to struggle against those inclinations. But we're always promised new life in Christ, in the confessional, in the Mass, preparing ourselves well for the Eucharist, which is truly the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when we, every single time we go into the church, we remember our baptism. Remember the holy water font? So you place the water on your hand, you do the sign of the cross, you're remembering your rebirth in Christ, dying and being renewed in Christ. And then as you turn toward the tabernacle, the first thing I look for when I go into a church is that red light. Sometimes it's white, but that red light which is illuminating and which reminds us where the true presence of the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ is in the tabernacle. If we knew that there was Christ, if we really knew the profound gift of Christ. We'd stop at a Catholic church every single day, do a little visit, because he's been waiting in that tabernacle for 20 centuries for you. And just, if you can't stop, just make a sign of the cross, connect yourself spiritually to the true body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord in that tabernacle as you drive by. And in this process of confession, going back to confession, the design of life that, yes, there will be temptations, and yes, we're going to lose our temper, yes, we're going to fall again, but what a great chance to go back to confession. And it's almost like taking a bath. You know, they say, well, you know, Father, it's been a year. I came last year, so. But imagine taking a bath once a year. Not too many people would want to hang out with you. It's the same thing. So coming back to confession often, and don't go back every week, or I'm going to get some calls from your pastor saying, why did you tell all these people to come back to confession every week? You can go, like Pope Francis, every 2 to 3 weeks, probably, or even a lot of people go every couple months. But this will require a good examination of conscience and rediscovering that light of Christ that he wants to communicate to us through concrete actions and concrete words. The words of absolution are beautiful. And then our penance, and imagine this, walking away completely free.
Amen, amen. St. Mother Teresa talks about you walk in with the stain of sin and you walk out with the light of Christ. And it's beautiful. So, so important to understand the gift that the Catholic Church, that the Lord Jesus has given us through that gift of the sacrament of reconciliation, confession. I have to say that one of the things that is so important to us at Spirit-Filled Hearts and on this show, Empowered by the Spirit, is really advocating the sacraments, daily Mass, extremely important, receiving the body and blood of Christ on a daily basis. But we often say frequent reconciliation because the question is, how holy do you want to be? You know, and for me, to go to reconciliation basically means that I strive to get closer to Christ and to certainly confess those sins, but I have lots of sins of omission too. There are things I could have done that I don't do. So I want to get holier. You know, I've mentioned on the show before, I'm standing in line, in the confessional line, and I say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to confess? I have the usual sins, of course, that I normally confess. But the Lord said, confess that you don't trust me enough. And it was really life-changing for me. I never would have thought of that. But the point is, do we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ truly to be our Lord and Savior? Do we turn to him as our God, as our Lord, or is he just like Santa Claus to us? Fix this, fix that. We have to be one with him to be in the presence of Christ. And that's really what Easter is all about, is understanding that we can be in the presence of Christ. We just have to say yes to him.
Well, following Christ is the essence of the Christian life, and it culminates on this earth, as did the life of Jesus in his passion and the cross and the resurrection. And this meeting that we have with Christ, which is regular and little by little, takes place transforming us almost without our realizing it. As we have these little encounters with Christ, and even St. Paul has this beautiful verse, if you rise with Christ, you must lift your thoughts above where Christ now sits at the right hand of God. So realizing that Christ did not just rise into outer space or kind of ethereally, but to the right hand of God where he reigns and where he invites us to be heavenly minded, not earthly minded. We have gone through this death, and our life is now hidden, as St. Paul tells us, with Christ in God. So this is the reason why Easter is a time of joy, because Christ is alive. Jesus is the Emmanuel, God with us, and he has come to bring us to the fullness of that joy.
Alleluia, 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 which we can say now. We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. And we're talking about the joy of the resurrection. We'll be right back. Oh.
This is John Romero, Director of Music at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are just months away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, but in the meantime, we have some spectacular concerts at Christ Cathedral. Check out our website at ChristCathedralMusic.org or our Facebook page at Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org. The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're back on the Empowered by the Spirit radio show here. And we're talking about the joy of the resurrection with Father Scott Borgman, judicial vicar for the Diocese of Orange. And I'm so excited. And that excitement is what we should have every single day. But the Easter season just makes us even more excited because it is about joy. And joy is something is completely different than happiness. Happiness for me is transitory. Based on a circumstance, joy is based on relationship.
Very good. Yes. And understanding what that means, that Christ is risen, and how is that significant for me in my ordinary life? This really changes everything because we are no longer alone. We know that God does not abandon his sons and daughters. And I would invite you also to reflect on that quality of divine filiation. We're not very familiar with that word, but it means that that you, through baptism and confirmation, are the son and daughter of the Most High God.
Amen.
This changes everything because God is with us, and he promised that he would never abandon us. Can a woman forget her baby? Isaiah says in chapter 49, verse 14 and 15, even though your mom may forget you, yet I will never forget you. And he has kept his promise. His delight, as Proverbs 8:31 says, is still to be with the sons of men. Christ is alive in us, in his church. God planned through Jesus dying on the cross to give us the Spirit, his Spirit, and his life. And so this allows us to identify, as it were, with Christ and to obtain the fullness of what it means to live in Christ, with Christ, and through Christ. That way we can live forever with him. And this is the joy that comes with Easter, that death does not have the final word, but actually that Christ conquered death with his resurrection and invites us to enter into this mystery of salvation. And I think an important element, we can't really talk about the resurrection of Jesus without talking about this extraordinary first meeting that he would have had with his mother.
And just understanding how much the Blessed Mother loves us. We have a spiritual mother, a spiritual mother that points to her son, a spiritual mother that intercedes for us, for our families, for our souls, for our children. And it's just so important to understand that when we turn to the Blessed Mother, she is holding us by the hand and turning us to Jesus. And a big part of Easter is just understanding the fact that we are called to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, but through the intercession of our Blessed Mother makes such a big difference.
And she, for us, is kind of an icon of what God has created us to be. Because we hear often that Mary was immaculate. And we're not quite sure what that means, but it makes sense when you go back to Adam and Eve. The same word is used for Adam and Eve in the garden. They were immaculate. That means without sin, without the stain of sin. And Paul even uses this word for us. You were called to be immaculate in his sight, without stain. That's why he gives us the sacraments to renew us. There's a beautiful reflection, though, a very ancient tradition that Jesus would, of course, have appeared to his mother, whom he was very close to, even appear to her first before appearing to anyone else in a kind of an intimacy. Imagine that meeting between the Immaculate Mother of our Lord and he who manifested himself to her in such a way that she would have instantly recognized him, even in his glorious state. After the pain she had endured of watching the persecution and the death of our Lord, Our Lady would have experienced an immense joy. Father Luis de Granada writes, "The star of the morning shines not so lovely as the mother's eyes shone in that gracious face of hers, the unblemished mirror of divine splendor. She sees this body of her son risen and glorious, the disfigurement of his passion gone, the grace of those divine eyes returned, his previous loveliness restored and increased." And so these openings in the wounds of Christ, which had been the sword thrusts of pain, were now fountains of love, as it were. And it would be great to go back and sort of read some of the resurrection narratives of the fathers of the church. I think in addition to the practical occurrences of those days that followed the resurrection of our Lord, that we can better understand them as we understand how the fathers of the church saw them. Again, it was not just about bunnies and Easter eggs. It was a time of profound renewal in the church, of a renewal which, remember, drove all of the apostles to defend their faith even to their last breath. And they were martyred, they were tortured and chopped up in all kinds of ways. In fact, the early Christian martyrs saw it as a great privilege to be able to die as Christ did. You'll remember that Saint Peter was crucified, and he said, "Don't crucify me right side up, crucify me upside down, because I'm not worthy to die as our Lord did." And so driving all of these, and up to 33 of the first popes were martyred for our Lord, this because of the significance of Easter. And nothing is more beautiful than this meeting that our Lord would have had with the Immaculate One, our Mother. It's said that each year on this holy day, St. Thomas Aquinas counseled his hearers not to fail to congratulate the Blessed Virgin on the resurrection of her son. Remember, oftentimes on our birthdays, we should be congratulating our mother because she's the one that did all the work on those days. And so on this day of Easter, with the resurrection of our Lord, we should not fail to go to our mother, mother of our Lord and our mother, Mary, and congratulate her, which we can do even right now on this radio show, to congratulate her on the resurrection of her son. And we also have this beautiful tradition that we recite the Regina Caeli, which is this beautiful prayer. "Queen of heaven, rejoice, hallelujah, for he whom you did merit to bear has risen as he said." Saint Leo the Great used to say in a beautiful way that Jesus hastened to rise as soon as possible because he didn't want to keep his mother waiting. He wanted to rise. He was in a hurry to console her and to console the disciples. He was in the tomb strictly as long as was necessary to comply with the 3 days that had been foretold. And then he rises on this third day as soon as he could, just before sunrise, when everything was still dark, in advance of the dawn with his own light. And the world went from darkness to light. Only the Virgin Mary, perhaps, was a light already. Because remember, she guarded all these things in her heart. She focused on these promises that the Son had made, and she did not believe that death would have the last words. And so after rising by his own power, Jesus is seen by the disciples, who were able to verify that it was him, even doubting Thomas, you know, who said, I won't believe it until I actually see. Well, it's a beautiful thing there. Jesus actually shows him the wounds. He doesn't just say, hey, believe, it's me. He actually allows him to go and place his finger in the wounds of Christ. Maybe some of us need to begin to look a little closer, to place our fingers in the wounds of Christ, and to see the resurrection through a new light.
My brothers and sisters, everything has changed because of what Jesus has done for us. But it's up to us to accept that change. It's up to us to say yes to him without any reservation, unconditionally. Say yes to his resurrection, yes to his love, yes to how he wants to transform us to be his ambassadors. Yes to his grace, because right now you are called, as it says in John 15:16, that I've anointed you to bear fruit. We're called. We're called to be that ambassador. We're called to be the light of Christ. It's so important that we understand that with Easter, everything changes. Father, what is the last message that you have for our listening audience on this joyous Easter Sunday as to how they should live out the joy of the resurrection?
Well, I think I like to refer back to somewhat of a long text, which you are probably familiar with already, which will help us to focus on our model, our motive for celebrating today, which is Jesus Christ. And this beautiful text, I will just read now, talking about Jesus, who was born in an obscure village, the child of ordinary people. He grew up in a small town in a carpenter's shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a house. He didn't go to college. He did none of the things one usually associates with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19, 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race and the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, all these put together have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life.
Amen, amen. My brothers and sisters, receive the joy of Jesus Christ, the joy of the resurrection. Receive the grace, unmerited favor that Jesus has in store for us. Father, it's just been such a blessing to have you on this Easter show. Would you give us all an Easter blessing as we close?
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. And again, we have so much to be grateful for with the celebrations during this time. So we continue Easter. It happens today, and the joy of Easter goes for 50 days to overcome the 40 days of darkness, which Lent celebrated. And so we come to our Lord. We want to experience this Easter season in a new way. And so we turn our hearts to our Lord. We ask in a special way for the intercession of his mother and our mother as we pray together.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And may Almighty God bless all of you who are listening here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
God bless you all, and happy Easter. We'll be with you next week at the same time. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you have been on Empowered by the Spirit.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.